Hey, church, it's great to see you. Thank you again for being here. I hope that everybody is doing extremely well. I know that I am because I've had a great opportunity to be in Bible class with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and now we have this opportunity to worship together. I am so thankful for this congregation. I am so thankful for the opportunities that we have to get together. I'm so thankful that we're able to have people that haven't been able to be with us here today. We do have a lot that are traveling because of the holidays, but we have spent this entire month trying to talk about the importance of Thanksgiving. I know that this coming Thursday is the day. This coming Thursday is the day that we will gather with family, more than likely, and we will gather around a table, and at that moment, we will have the opportunity and probably take advantage of the opportunity to thank God for what He's done. Maybe we even go around the table, say, tell me something you're thankful for. And listen, I think that's a great practice, but wouldn't it be great if we were doing that all the time? Wouldn't it be great that if everything we did was about thanking God? Well, this week I've tried to challenge myself in looking at some stories that we don't typically talk about a lot. This month, I should say, and so we've talked about Naaman, we've talked about Hannah, we've talked about others that have maybe not been just jump out at you, hey, these stories are about Thanksgiving, but today I'm going to talk with you about one that a lot of preachers will preach on today, and that is the 10 lepers in Luke 17. So if you want to join me, let's read together. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along, of course he there is Jesus, between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, on one hand, to me, this is a great story about how we should thank God, how we should thank Him for the good things that He's done in our life. This leper, again, he's a Samaritan. Remember, Jews and Samaritans, they did not see eye to eye. And so I think Jesus used a lot of these type stories to bridge the gap and rid the world of the racism and we shouldn't love each other because of color of skin or because of nationality or whatever. We should love everyone. And so there's a lot of stories told, you know, about that, like the Good Samaritan. But all this to say, this man has leprosy. Leprosy was, and is, just a terrible disease. It's one that would cause the body to rot, the flesh to rot. Some have even lost body parts because it has just rotted them away. And because of that, they had to go around letting the world know how not only is it painful, not only does it handicap you, but now it is very humiliating because they have to go around the world or the area they're living in shouting, I am unclean, I'm unclean. In other words, don't get around me. I've got leprosy. And so it's almost like they had a big sign on their face or on their chest that said, hey, I have leprosy, stay away from me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how terrible that disease is and would be, especially in this day and time? But this man is healed, and he certainly is thankful. He is so thankful that he comes and he bows down at Jesus' feet and praises him right then and there. So on one hand, this is a story that reminds us the importance of being thankful. And it gives us an example of how we should do that. But on the other hand, it's a very sad story. It's a very sad story because all of those lepers, all 10, were in the same boat, if you will. They all had leprosy. They all wanted to be healed. They all wanted to be cured. And they found the one that could do it. Jesus, the Christ, God in the flesh, the one who can perform miracles, the one who can raise the dead, the one who can walk on water, is the one that could take our disease away. And here he is. Jesus, Master, they said, have mercy on us. Perhaps their mindset was this. If Jesus will have mercy on us and he will heal us of this terrible disease, then I will make him my master. I will make him my Lord. I will live every day for God. I will live every day for Jesus, and I'll do whatever he wants me to do. He and is going to heal me, and I am going to live a life of thankfulness. But they didn't. If that were their mindset, Jesus healed them, and 90% of them went on their way, never returning, not to thank him, more than likely not to make him their master. But you know, as much as that is very sad, sometimes we as Christians have that same mindset. You know, Jesus, if only all my bills were paid. I'm behind. If I could just get caught up, I will make you Lord. I will make you master. I will return and thank you time and time again. If only my marriage were better. If I could get along with my spouse, if I could be a better husband, a better wife, or I could be a better parent and raise my children, or if my children were not drifting away, or they were faithful, if I could just have this God, I will make you Lord, and I will live a life of thankfulness. Or if you'll just take away this disease. Or if you will just put more money in my account. Or if you would just fill in the blank. Can you imagine the same mindset that these lepers must have had? If you will just heal me of this disease, I will live a life of thankfulness. It will be thanksgiving, not thanksgiving. I will live it and give it every single day. I will make you Lord. I will make you Master. And they did not. 90% of them did not. And sometimes we're the same. Would we really be more faithful if only we had what we didn't have? Would that make us more faithful? Or would we be more faithful if we were grateful for all the Lord showers us with those blessings every day? You see, the mindset is this. If you will do this, I will do this. How about he has done this and I need to do this? You see, it's a whole different attitude. It's a whole different mindset. And so if I'm going to live a life of thanksgiving, if I'm going to be thankful every single day for the blessings I have, then I've got to stop and take time and appreciate what he's done for me. See, gratitude is fleeing. It goes with the by the way, everything happens to us. For instance, if something good happens, boy, I sure am thankful. Today's a great day. It's beautiful outside, beautiful weather, beautiful family, beautiful job, beautiful children, beautiful, 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 thank you, thank you, thank you. Or if it's a bad day, and my bills are behind, my marriage isn't as good as it needs to be, I'm not doing a great job parenting, my children are afar, or whatever we said earlier, I've got a disease, I've got bad news, all this. It's a terrible day. It's an awful life. Nobody loves me. Everybody's against me. The church has rejected me. It all depends on our attitude towards thankfulness. You see, we've talked about stories, especially Hannah, when we talked about her, she was willing to thank God even in the dark days. Are we willing to be that type person? Are we willing to have leprosy and still be thankful? Are we willing to be broke and still be thankful? Are we willing to be without a loved one and still be thankful? That's the test today. That's the challenge today. I can't answer it for you. You can't answer it for me. So the question is, what is my approach? Our circumstances will not always change. You see, there was a good chance that they never encountered Jesus. I'm sure these 10 lepers are some of the lucky ones. I'm sure there are a lot of lepers that didn't encounter Jesus. They were stuck with leprosy. You think they didn't want to be healed too? Sure they did. There are a lot of people that died during that day with leprosy. They wanted to be healed as well. Circumstances will not always change. I can't tell you today that if you give your life to Jesus Christ, all of a sudden you're going to have all this money in your bank account. I can't tell you today that if you give yourself to Jesus Christ, you're going to be a better husband, a better wife. I mean, you will be, but all your marriage is going to be perfect. Or your children are going to be perfect. Or you're never going to have disease. I can't tell you that. Circumstances will not always change, but our attitude towards gratefulness should. Because, boy, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. I invite you now to turn to the book of Philippians. It was our scripture reading today. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Some of the most powerful words to me in the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. It's very simple. It's very practical. He says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I will say, rejoice. "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication," don't miss this, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." What will happen if we do that, Paul? "Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I believe the essential words in that section of Scripture, two words, "with thanksgiving." Did you hear what he's saying all around that? He says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. "Let your gentleness or reasonableness be known to all men." Don't be anxious. Well, hey, it's hard sometimes to not be anxious, right? It's hard to not be worried sometimes. Again, anxiousness and worry are not the same, but they are first cousins. Okay? They're real close to each other. Anxiousness can get into worrisomeness. And so, maybe today you're worried. And listen, that you're not the only one. There are people in here who are anxious about tomorrow, anxious about next month, anxious about this, worried about this, worried about that. But Paul said, don't do that. He said, in fact, go to God in prayer with supplication. He said, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And if I will do that, guess what? God's peace is going to come over me. He didn't say the anxiousness or the problem, what's causing the problem of worry and anxiousness, he didn't say they'll automatically be gone. He said, you'll have a peace. But it's all about being thankful. To me, that is the key to it all in that section of Scripture. You've got to do it with thanksgiving. So what does that mean, Paul? That I need to reflect on the blessings that I have. Help me show me, guide me, love me, forgive me. How about thank you? That's what we ask, right? God, help me. God, show me. God, guide me. God, love me. God, forgive me. And listen, I agree with all of those. We should ask Him that. But when are we going back and saying thank you? Thank you, God, for all that You've done. I imagine you could see the agreement with this statement, but did you know that people that keep a record of their blessings live a much more positive, upbeat life? I mean, it makes sense, right? People that keep an account of their blessings. You know, we keep an account of our bank account. We keep an account of maybe notes from work or what have you. Do we keep an account of the blessings we have? What if we got a journal? And I'm not saying do this, but I'm just saying a what if. What if we got a journal? And every day we got up, we wrote what we were thankful for. The next day we got up, we wrote what we were thankful for. And we did that day in and day out. If you did it 21 times, it becomes a habit, by the way. But if you did it day in and day out, studies show you will be a much more positive, upbeat person. You know why? Because it will be before us every day. These are the things God has blessed me with. We need to be grateful people. Because grateful people show less envy, they show less materialism, and they show less self-centeredness. Gratitude, being thankful, living a Thanksgiving type life, it will improve our self-esteem and it enhances our relationships. It's not just a song. It's got to be the way we live. When upon life's billows, you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy? You are called to bear. Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly. And you will keep singing as the days go by. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Why don't we do that? Now, some of you may say, hey, Terry, I do. By the way, if you do and I know you, then I guarantee you you're a positive, upbeat person. Because in front of you every day, you see what God has done. But for the rest of us that may not do that, why don't we try it? Maybe we're struggling. Maybe we're doubting. Maybe we're in a negative whirlwind, spin cycle, whatever it may be. Our life keeps revolving around negativity and hardship and misery. And remember, misery loves company. And so if I'm in that, why don't I start today and get out a piece of paper somewhere or get your phones out, get your iPad out, get whatever you got out and make a list. Terry's blessings, and just start naming them. It's going to change you. It's going to change me. You see, we can't live in that mindset, if only you do this, God, I'll do this. Those 9 lepers lived in that mindset. In fact, they said this, if only I could be clean. If only I mean, all 10 of them had to think it, right? If only I could be clean. What is the greatest need you have today? It's not a full bank account. You see, I've said this before, but what if I started advertising for January, first Sunday in January 2025, if you come to Azalea City Church of Christ, if you are here for Bible class, you are here for fellowship, and you are here for worship. We'd get them to Bible class if we did that, by the way. If you're here, then I'm going to give you, I have the capabilities, maybe I got in touch with Elon or somewhere along the way, but I'm going to give everybody that comes that day $1 million. You think we'd have a record crowd? You better believe we would. We wouldn't be able to get enough people. People be flying in from all over the world to come to Azalea City. Why? Because we think $1 million would cure it all. It would not. In fact, the greatest need we have is to be clean. The greatest need we have is not $1 million. It's not a full checking account. It's not to have perfect health. The greatest need we have is to be cleansed of all of our sins. And see, I can't promise you $1 million, but I can promise you in just a little bit, if you walk this aisle, your sins will be cleansed, not because of me, but because of Him. If only I could be clean. 90% of them had that mindset and they didn't come back. Today, if you decide to be clean, today, if you decide to allow God through Jesus Christ to wash away your sins, make up your mind that you're not turning back. That you're going to come back and you're going to thank Him. And we're not going to live with that if-only attitude. And we're not going to test God, if you will. We're just going to surrender to Him. Also this morning, this if only I could be clean, the mindset might be, if only I could have peace. Listen, if you are in a situation where you put the world away, you don't have the everyday hustle of children anymore, and maybe you're retired, and maybe you don't watch the news, and maybe you don't go out too much. I mean, you might be living in a lot of peace. But for a lot of the people in this room, we're living in a lot of conflict. You know, every day there may be conflict in the home. I told you to get up out of bed right now. I told you you're not going to wear that. I told you, you know, and there may be conflict just right off the bat in the morning, right? And we have that conflict from the time we get up to the time we go to bed. Because once we get out of the house, and you might think, whew, finally they're going to school, then I'm going to run into somebody at work that's going to, we're going to have conflict. You know why? Because this world is chaos. Without God, there's chaos. Without God, there's war. Without God, there's conflict. And even though we have it inside of God, most of the people outside that we come in contact with, they're not faithful. They're not living the way they should. World peace, I can't guarantee you that. But I can guarantee you that you can have peace that passes all understanding. No one can give you peace, that kind of peace, except Jesus Christ. If only I could have peace. Well, you can have it today. If your mindset is, if only my life wasn't so up in turmoil, if only my life wasn't in such chaos, I'd follow Him, I'd be more dedicated. Well, let me tell you, it can be that way today. Paul said it, right? He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all. And with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving," don't be anxious for anything, "with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding," it's going to be given to us. But the key in all of that is being thankful. being thankful. What if we looked at it this way? We wake up in the morning and there's chaos with the children. How about we're just thankful that God gave us children? We wake up in the morning and, you know, maybe the showers went too long and we don't have that much hot water. Let's just be thankful for clean running water. Or maybe you look around and your house is cluttered and it's too small, or maybe it needs a paint job, or maybe it needs some repairs. How about let's just be thankful that we've got a roof over our heads? Or if I go to my closet and I don't have $100 shirts and $100 pants and $100 shoes, and I know it can all be more than that, but you understand the point. I don't have all that. Let's just be thankful that we have clothes, because that's the necessities of life that He promised us. I can't promise you that if you surrender to God, there'll be no conflict in Ukraine and Russia. I can't promise you that Israel and Hamas will be cured overnight if you will surrender to God. But I can promise you this, that if you and I surrender to God, the peace of Jesus Christ is going to come upon us. If only I could be clean, you can. If only I could have peace, you can. If only I could have joy. You see, if I could just have joy in my life, I'd surrender to Him today. If I could just be healed of this leprosy, I'd make Him my master. If I could just get rid of this leprosy and have peace come over me. If I could just get rid of this leprosy and be full of joy. 10 of them got it. 90% of them didn't stick to it. How quickly they forgot. Paul, going back to his writing in Philippians 4. Rejoice. How often, Paul? Oh, always. And just in case you didn't hear it, he said, again, I will say it, rejoice. You know what that means? Be full of joy. Be full of joy. Listen, not every day is, as we say, going to be peachy keen. Not every day is it going to be just the most amazing day in the life of you or me. Now, we might have some amazing days, and I hope that we do. I hope that you have a lot of them, actually. But I can't promise you tomorrow you're going to wake up and it's going to be the best Monday ever. But I can promise you that if we will live a life and be thankful, live in the moment, be cleansed from all of our sins, allow the peace of God to pass all understanding, then I can promise you tomorrow, no matter what happens, you'll be full of joy. Oh, by the way, when Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, again I'll say rejoice, he said it from prison. Could you imagine? Could you imagine sitting in prison right now? And our prisons today are better conditions than the prisons Paul stayed in. But could you imagine being in prison in shackles and chains and not knowing if you're going to get your next meal, not knowing if they're going to come and cut your head off and sever it from your body, not knowing that if you're going to lay your head down tonight, it may be in the same place you went to the restroom earlier. That's the conditions, right? Paul didn't say, if only you'll get me out of here. He didn't say, if only you will kill all of them that are causing me problems. He said, no matter what, no matter what condition, no matter how dark the day, no matter what's going to happen to me, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Do you know there are a number of unjoyful people in the world? Does that shock you? It doesn't, right? You're going to encounter, I'm going to encounter people in this world that don't have joy. But do you know there are a lot of people in the church that don't have joy? Perhaps there are even people in this room that do not have joy. Maybe we've forgotten all of our blessings. Maybe we've forgotten what God has done. You know, I'm always amazed that some of the songs that we sing. Look up the story of Amazing Grace sometime. Why He wrote it. Look up the story of It Is Well With My Soul and see why He wrote it. In both of those situations, they were living terrible, dark days. But it came a point in time when they reflected on their life. In Amazing Grace, He remembered what He was taught. He remembered what He was taught as a little boy about Jesus, about God. And all the bad things He had done, once He remembered and He was thankful, He remembered God's amazing grace. The one who wrote, "It is well with my soul," had lost everything. Everything. But when he stopped and he reflected, even though he'd lost his family, he remembered that no matter what, it is well with my soul. Today, where are you? Where am I? Am I sitting there crying out, "God, if you'll just take this away"? Well, see, it comes a point in time now where it's rubber meets the road. If that is you today, I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you to allow Him to take it away. I'm challenging you to then return back to Him. Living a life of thankfulness. Living a life of cleanliness. Living a life of peace. Living a life of joy. Or maybe we're here today and we're missing one or all of those and we've already obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm challenging you to reflect. Count your many blessings. Don't just do it this week. Start today. Think about what God has done. Really, the great needs we have in life are to be clean, to have peace, and to have joy, no matter what the circumstance. Today, all that can be had by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Are we going to be the 90% or are we going to be the 10%? You see, that decision is yours. Let's make it right now. As together we stand and sing.